Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalm. The Old Testament book of Psalm, and look with me, if you don't mind, in Psalm 8. Psalm 8. We're continuing with our series and now finishing up this week of the power of God's name. And that we know that not only does God reveal himself through his names, but all throughout the Bible, he tells us how to use his names. And we've studied about calling upon his name, praying in his name, serving in his name. We saw that we're justified by his name. We saw there are so many different ways throughout the Word of God that God says that his name is used. And as we finish off this series, we finish off by looking at God himself. We notice our way into Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 1. Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor, and hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that appears twice within this psalm. Notice with me at the very beginning in Psalm 8, where it says, how excellent is thy name. And then again in verse number 9, we see the same phrase, how excellent is thy name. And with the Lord's help, we're going to study this principle here found in Psalm 8. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're asking that you give us grace, mercy, that you would help us to learn more about you and who you are. We could see the emphasis that you have placed upon your name and who you are. Again, I'm very conscious of my own limitations today, and I need you to take over for me, to fill me with your spirit. The best I know how, I give you my strength, my throat, my mind, my ambitions, my goals, my desires. They're all yours. And whatever you see fit to do with your message, we trust you to get your own work accomplished through your word. Help even above and beyond today that we could see you high, holy, and lifted up. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Word of God, we have learned that God has chosen to reveal himself in two primary ways. The first way that God has chosen to reveal himself is through his word. That the main purpose of the Word of God is to reveal God to man, to show us who God is. God wants to be known. He wants us to have a personal relationship with him. The second way that God has chosen to reveal himself is through his names. That as we study the names of God, each one of God's names shows us an attribute or a characteristic of who God is. For example, if we were to study Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, we learn that a characteristic or an attribute of who God is that he is a God that provides. Lo Roi, the God who sees me. We see that he's a God who sees where I came from, he sees where I'm going, and he knows where I'm at currently. Well, that's an attribute or a principle of God. And we're going to learn more about these names starting next week. And the reason why we did this series first is to put an emphasis of how important it is to learn about these characteristics and these attributes so we can know God more. Well, as we come to Psalm 8, God, through David, the writer of the psalm, has taken time to teach us how excellent is God's name. Now remember, when you see something in the Bible, it's important. But when it's repeated, there's an emphasis being placed. And in this psalm, God has put bookends, something in between to hold things together that is the same. O Lord, my Lord. O Lord, our Lord. I'm thankful that he could be our Lord. It's a personal pronoun there. Our. He's my Lord. He's our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This psalm is all about God and is putting an emphasis on how great God is. And when we go through here, we see how God is excellent. How excellent is his name? How excellent is his person, his characteristics, his attributes? How great God is. And he's not just great in Israel. He's just not a local deity. He is the great God of heaven. He is the great God of earth. He is an excellent God. And we are reminded, our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Some people like to imagine that David, the young shepherd boy, is writing this out. And as he's writing this, he's looking at the stars in the middle of the night as a shepherd. He's taking care of the sheep and he's looking up at God, looking at creation and said, wow, what a God. Others picture an older man writing after the Lord had raised him up and given him victory. The truth is we don't know when David wrote this, but we don't need to, because the psalm is not about David. The psalm is about God. It's about how great he is. And Charles Spurgeon said in verse 1, David's giving us the proposition. He's giving us, introducing this. And verse number 9, he's giving us the conclusion. And in between, he's proving the point. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. All right, David, you told us how excellent his name is. Now show us why. Let's look in this psalm and let's see several reasons why God has an excellent name. Notice that first of all, his name is excellent because he is a personal Savior. His name is excellent because he is a personal Savior. Notice as it begins in verse number 1. And David begins, O Lord, our Lord. Notice the first word. The first name of God here is Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now we're going to go in a full detailed message on this next Sunday night dealing with this, but this is the personal name of God, the name of God, Jehovah. That here we have a personal God with a personal name that we can know personally. This is the self-sufficient God, the great I am, the one who doesn't need anything from us. The second name of God, O Lord, our Lord. Notice that this is at a capital L because it's showing deity, but the rest of the letters are lowercase O-R-D. And so we have, O Jehovah, our Lord. This Lord here is the word Adonai, which carries the idea of ruler, master, sovereign king. He's the one that's in charge. O Lord, my personal God. O Lord, our Lord, our master. He's recognizing who God is and his position of that falls. That when we speak about our wonderful Lord and master, our wonderful king, we're recognizing he has authority over us. He has every right to do what he sees fit in our life, and we have every right to obey him as our master. He's our covenant-keeping God. He's our redeemer. He's our ruler. He's personal, and he's sovereign. We can know him personally, but yet he's still in charge. There is no other God like him. Oh, Lord, our Lord. I'm thankful that we can have a personal relationship with God, that he's not a distant God. He's not a God who's so far away. He's not a God who always disappears around the corner when we try to find him. God wants to have a personal, meaningful, Amen. Intimate relationship with us. At the same time, we need to make sure that he is in his proper place, that he is not too familiar where we disregard him. He always must be a holy God in our eyes. He is personal, yet sovereign. He is intimate with us, but yet he's still in charge. And his name is excellent because of that, that we could trust in him. He is, because he is a personal savior, he has an excellent name. Notice, if you don't mind, again, we see another reason why his name is excellent, as David is proving it through the scriptures, that his name is excellent because he is the Lord of glory. His name is excellent because he is the Lord of glory. Notice again in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Notice that God's glory is not just confined to earth. God's glory spreads everywhere, heaven and earth. It's not confined to one nation. It's not confined to one temple. God is above all of those things. He is for everyone and above everyone. He is far above his creation. That's one of the things about our God, is that he is the God who transcends creation. What do we mean by that? He's above creation. God was not a created being. He is the cause of creation. He created everything. He is above creation. Creation does not make God answer to them. Man cannot force God on trial. God does not have to give an account to any man. It is man that has to give an account to God. God is above everything. When we talk about that God is transcendent, when God created everything, one of the things he created was time. God is above and outside of time. Time fits in the palm of his hand. That's how big he is. We serve a big God. How excellent is God's name? Because we have a big God who's a God above the heavens, a God who's above the earth, a God who's above creation, a God who's in control of everything, and everything is small compared to him. Why else is God, why is his name excellent? We see another reason. His name is excellent because he is the victorious king. His name is excellent because he's the victorious king. Notice with me in verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Verse 2 is a pretty amazing. Notice he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You know, it's speaking here. How does God win battles? How can God win great battles? Well, it's not because he has a bigger army, though he does. And it's not just because he has great power, though he does. It's because God can sometimes use the smallest things to get his glory accomplished. Even going through the Bible, do you know, going through the Bible, you could see when God uses children to change events. Amen. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. Hey, we don't have any food. We can't go to the store. We don't have time to buy it. How are we going to do this? Jesus says, go ask and see if you can find anyone. And they had a little lad with a couple sardines and a couple biscuits. And God was able to feed 5,000 with a little lad's lunch. All throughout the Bible, you could find that God is able to use children and small people for his glory, for his honor, to change the tide of world events. And it's not just confined to the Bible. He does that in history too. That God is such a good God, he can use children to win battles. Amen. Not because they're physically fighting, but he could change the course through an action. There was a great revival in Wales in 1850. And a reporter came to investigate to see if this revival was true or not. And as he stood outside of a school building, he happened to hear a little kid stand up at their desk and say, "I love Jesus with all of my heart." Immediately, the presence of God had struck him because there was already a revival going on. A newspaper reporter fell down on his knees and accepted the Lord as his Savior right outside the school. Just by having a kid just say, "I love Jesus with all of my heart." God is able to use the small things to get his will accomplished. That's how big of a God we have. He is an excellent God. By the way, if God could use a child, he can use you.
Amen.
God is such a great God, he could use me to get his battles won, to go accomplished, to see things done. Isn't that wonderful that God can use us? He could use the lesser, the baser things, the foolish things in life to confound the wise. God knows that he could do it in such a way that people said, only God can do that. God has an excellent name. Again, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Many of you have heard me tell the hymn history story of Stand Up for Jesus. That in the Chicagoland area back in the 1800s, people for entertainment would go and listen to lectures. I know we're a long way from there, but that's what they used to do. They would gather together and listen to lectures. And they had a man who had advertised that he was going to do a scientific lecture. And so people showed expecting to hear a scientist give some new science facts. And instead, the man used this as a platform to blaspheme God, to say that God wasn't real. And in the middle of at the end of his statements, he said, "Listen, if God is real, I dare him to strike me dead to prove that he is there." So there was a hush upon the crowd. Someone had challenged God, and everyone with eagerness was trying to see what was going to happen. And up on the balcony, a little 7-year-old girl with a weak and nervous voice began to say, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, and began to sing the song. Next thing you know, people around the balcony began to join with her. Then soon the people on the floor, and they began to sing verse after verse of stand up for Jesus. Finally, as they kind of toned down, someone said, "Hey, where'd the atheist go?" And someone at the front said, as soon as that little girl began to sing, that guy ran out the back. God was able to get a victory that day just by using someone small, someone frail, but someone available. That's how big of a God that we have. Stand up for Jesus. We learned something else here. God's name is an excellent name because he's a creator with infinite power. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number three. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou ordained. Now, I love creation science. We know that our world is very small compared to the backdrop of the universe. That all throughout the universe, it's vast and big. So many things to be discovered. And you look at all the things that are out there. You think of even within our own solar system, how the Earth is in a perfect orbit around the sun. That if we were just a little bit closer, we would be too hot. A little bit further away, we'd be too cold. God had made it perfect. He made the rotation just perfect to give us our seasons. He allowed us to have a tilt of 23 degrees to allow the seasons. Everything has to work in harmony. It's not just one thing, but they work together in harmony. And God had to put it together. And the more that we study, the more that we go, wow. But God says something very interesting here when he talks about creation. Here's David looking at the heavens. And he says, the moon and the stars, think about the moon, that the moon rotates around the earth. And the moon controls the tides, that it brings high tide and low tide. That if the moon was any closer, it would actually cause the earth to flood 4 times a day. Last time I looked, we can only drown comfortably once a day. God had made the moon at a perfect rotation and made it at a perfect spot, that to be able to bring the high tides and the low tides, which helps sailing all throughout the thousands of years of human history. God has been a perfect God to put all these things in the right order, in the right area, to be able to have the right gravitation. All those things work together, and you think and you study, and the more that you study, you go, wow. But what really makes me go, wow, is this. Notice again in verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou was ordained, notice how God says how easy it was. He says it is the work of thy fingers. What do you mean by this? Well, we know that the basic art form of all people is finger painting, right? You get little kids and you take the paint and you say, you go to town, and they take their fingers and they put it in there and they draw things in little lines. There's not really a lot of skill that goes with it. They just take it and they just start spreading out. They use their fingers and they put it. It is the simplest and easiest art form. And you know how easy it was for God to make creation? God says it's like, or the Bible gives a reflection, it's like finger painting. That's how easy it was to God. He spoke the world in existence. It was that easy. I mean, think about all the calculations and all the things to put gravity together and put things to the right spot and to have it all work in harmony. And again, I put that word on reason, but because these things don't work independently of each other. They work in a harmonious system. And God put it together. And it was just as easy as finger painting. You think of our own body. We know that there are some people who believe in evolution, and they talk about our bodies, that we were evolved. We started as a single sort of organism, and we came up. But you think of our systems, how they have to work in harmony. What is the purpose of the heart? The purpose of the heart is to pump blood through the rest of our body. Why does it pump blood? Because we have to get oxygen. That means if we have a heart and we have a circulatory system, we have to have something to pump. That means we also have to have lungs to be able to get the oxygen and then have the heart and the lungs work together to get the oxygen into the blood and to the rest of the body. Then you have to get it out. So we have to have that system to get it out. Then you have infections in the blood. You have to be able to get those things out there, be able to have the body to process those things, whether it's the kidney or the liver. Some of you have had some problems with those things. You understand how important those things are. They have to work correctly, or it messes up your whole system. Well, can you have a heart develop through accident and chance and not have lungs? Well, then there's no purpose of it. These things work together in harmony. And we look at how complex our body is and think of all the things that have to work together and even things we don't even understand yet as we're still learning more about the body. And yet for God, it was as easy as finger painting to put man together. Aren't you glad that God put man together and he put it together right? He didn't have to experiment and say, well, this messed up. Let me try again. Well, this didn't quite work out. God was a smart God. It was as easy to put together man and all of his system as easy it was for finger painting. What a wonderful game. No wonder we can say how excellent is thy name. We're proving it. That to God putting together creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, putting together creation itself, the body, the eye, the circulatory system, the pulmon, what it, all those things together, it was as easy to God as finger painting. Oh, he's got an excellent name. Notice as we go on, why does God have an excellent name? As we're proving it through this psalm, his name is excellent because of the compassion he has towards men. His name is excellent because he is compassionate towards men. Notice with me in verse number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Think about man and how sinful and awful we are. And yet God still shows compassionate towards us. Many of us have joked and said that We're glad that we're not God, because there would be a lot of people with lightning strikes. There would be a lot of people who'd been smited if we were in charge. But God is compassionate towards us. He is patient towards us. He is loving towards us. He's forgiving towards us. He is mindful of us. As many times as I failed him, he still cares for me. Isn't that a wonderful God? No wonder his name is excellent, because he remembers us. He shows compassion towards us. And not just some compassion, not just a feeling towards us, but it was proven as God robed himself in flesh and came on this earth and died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins and mine. That, and while God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us. When we were no good, when we were trash, when we were disobedient, when we had no redeeming qualities, Jesus still died on the cross for us. No wonder he has an excellent name, because of how great he is. As we go through, we're proving, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. We're going through and studying and seeing as God is proving himself that he is truly a God above all gods. He is a king who loves us so much. He is the God above all the heavens. And he has an excellent name. There is no other name like this. As we go on, we see he has an excellent name because he is crowned man with glory and honor. Again in verse number 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. God made us in his image. He made us distinctly different than the rest of his creation. He made Adam a living soul. That we are different. What makes us different? Because of the soul, because of what God made us with, we have the ability to not only think, but the idea to be able to process information and make a decision off of things not there. We know that we could train pets to do certain things, but they cannot process and anticipate consequences. As much as you would like to think that your cat really thinks about consequences, it does not. This is what I want to do, and this is what it does. Amen. It doesn't say, huh, I wonder what would happen if I do this. We could train them to obey commands, but it's not because they thought about consequences or the further actions. That's what makes us unique. Now, I know some of you haven't quite developed that trait of developing, looking at further actions, but we have the ability, the process of it. God has made us different and unique, and he did it for the reason that he wants us to have fellowship with him. He made us to be stewards over his creation, that we could be trusted to care for the things that is his. Amen. Notice again as it repeats this idea. It says, verse 5, for thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. We don't deserve it, but God says, listen, I'm making you my crowning achievement. I am putting you at a special place where I trust you. And thou madest him, man, to have dominion or stewardship. That's going to be the word to use. The idea of dominion, people have adjusted the English word quite a bit. But the idea here of dominion carries the idea of stewardship. We are made to be stewards. We are to care for the things placed in our hand, knowing that we're going to stand before God and give an account. We are stewards of the earth, and we have a responsibility of taking care of it. Now, we know some people have taken that idea too far to worship creation. That's not what God is. He's saying this is yours to use, but you're going to have to give an account for how well you used it, how well you took care of it. You have dominion. You have responsibility. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. We have dominion over God's works, that thou hast put all things under his feet, meaning that we, again, have dominion. We have responsibility to do with it. We are put in charge. We have a decision to make. All sheep and oxen, and yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, we're responsible for, that God has trusted us. Now, some of us know that we're not trustworthy. But God has chosen to trust us. Why go through all of this? Why allow us the ability to choose? Because for that reason, God wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to worship him. He wants us to choose to follow him. That we're to do it not because we have to, but because we get to. Because of knowing who God is. What a wonderful God. Why does God do this? Because God created man for one reason, for fellowship. He wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants us to be able to spend time with him, to trust him, to be able to work alongside with him with what he has accomplished. What a great position that he has placed us in, even though we don't deserve it, that God wants to use us. And he has chosen to use us, even though he doesn't have to. And he wants us to choose to follow after him. What a wonderful God. No wonder he has an excellent name. One more thing I want to show you in Psalm 8. His name was excellent because he is crowned man. He's excellent because his name is in all the earth. Notice in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In verse 1, it said, it added the phrase, set thy glory in heaven. But here it repeats again, his name in all the earth. God has always desired that all the earth may know who his name is. That all the earth may know that there's a God up in heaven. God wants us to consider everything about God. And he wants us to go, wow, what a savior. He wants us to look at God and be amazed by him. Heaven forbid we get to the place where we're no longer amazed or wowed or awed on who God is, because he is a wonderful God. We need to make sure that God is in his highest position. This is why God tells us and gives us the command to be ye holy as I am holy. Why? Because the holiness of God carries the idea that he is set apart from all of creation. He is above it. He is transcended above it. Our temptation is that we like to try to bring God to our level. We like to bring God down. God says, no, you keep me holy and you be holy. You bring up to my level. You recognize how great I am and you keep moving forward to that direction. We recognize how great he is. We see how wonderful he is. And we desire, God, I want to be more like you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Now our wonderful flesh, with a message, it likes to rock us to sleep. You guys are struggling today. And our flesh likes to sleep on some of the stuff. Our flesh likes to get to the place where we're no longer looking how wonderful God is. We could even get to the place where we get used to being saved. It's no longer a big deal. I've been saved such a long time, you know, I never think about the wonder. But God still wants us to stay in wonder of him. He wants us to stay in awe of him. He wants us to look and say, what a God, what a Savior. Why? Because that's going to be the greatest motive that we ever have, is the love of God. To be able to look at him and say, I have no problems reading my Bible because what a Savior. I have no problem showing up to church because, wow, what a Savior. I have no problems obeying you because, wow, what a Savior. As we talked about in Sunday school, I have no problems living my life palms up where he could take whatever he wants because, wow, what a Savior. This psalm is so important because it reminds us that we still need to be in awe of a majestic, wonderful God. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Is that something that we can still say? Is that something that we can prove to others? Man, I have a wonderful God. Let me tell you how wonderful he is. I think one of our side effects of us not being amazed with God is that we don't get to show others how amazing our God is. By the things that we do, by the motives that we have, by the decisions we make. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name. So the question is for you, dear friend, are you still amazed of God? Or has it become common, mundane? Are you still excited about him? Or do you find yourself that you have to get yourself pumped up? Is God still amazing to you? Or has he become so common that you don't even think about what a wonderful God that we have anymore? Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, I'm just asking that you would help us. We know that we've had a busy week. We've had sickness, the change of weather. Well, there's a lot of things going on. But I'm asking that we would still be amazed by you. That we would look up to you and still be awed. Still look at you and say, wow, what a God. What a Savior. Help us, Lord, to never get over being saved. Help us to never get over how amazing you are. Help us to never get to the place where we get bored with how great you are. Draw us close to you even now, that you could get victories in our life with some of the things that we have going on. Help us to, on purpose, look up at you and see how great you are. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.